AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It It's the fight in. It's the fight in.
Clock.
It's the fight in. It's the fight in.
Hello and welcome to another special for the Fighting Cock podcast. We said we'll be delivering you more of this sort of stuff during the summer, during the season. And here it is. We're talking to Elliot from Bear Pit TV.
You alright, guys? You alright, Fluff?
Yeah, not bad. Stoke fan.
Yeah.
You know, we never had a
never
opposite fan on the pod before. Although this is in addition to the main pod that goes out.
Okay.
So you should feel privileged.
Yeah, some sort of honour. I'll get this on my CV.
Yeah, work it on now. But what's Bear Pit so people know?
Bear Pit is Stoke City's fan channel. So, you know, like the Arsenal fan TVs and the Red Men that you see, but it's for Stoke. You know, we do a lot of, you know, we steer clear of what the other guys sort of do in Baltout, you know, 12 fan cams after a game. We do sort of do the away day side, you know, document the day from start to finish. And, you know, majority of the time it ends in absolute despair for Stoke.
Yeah, of course. I'm not a big fan of the fan cam stuff, I've got to be honest. I understand why it has a place. And I understand, I mean, Arsenal Fan TV has become massively popular. But in my opinion, a lot of that popularity has come from
the idiots.
But also from fans of other clubs laughing at them. Do you know what I mean? And that's,
it sort of demoralises your club.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we steer clear of that. We do one or two.
If you find someone with something decent to say, there's no harm in that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, something we're trying to do more, and we're going to debut it after the game this weekend, is just four guys in a pub with a pint speaking about the game.
Yeah, sounds good.
Sounds better.
I mean, that's where the Fighting Cock came from, was this idea about taking the conversations you have in the pub and just sticking them on.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's kind of where we've never kind of diverted from that.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, a lot of our content actually isn't about football. It's just us pissing about.
Speaking about stuff.
Yeah. Which in itself has its own pitfalls, as I've discovered over the last 5 years. So when the last time we did something together, it was for Ball Street on your channel.
Yeah.
I mentioned what I thought was a custom at Stoke, where they go into a pub and the pub's closing or it's kicking out for the game, but people buy cartons and put them on string or something like that, and they put them on over the shoulder. The cartons might be full of ale, but they're like real resealed.
I still have no idea where you got this from. I put the video on our page, Facebook page, and not one person knew what you're on about. One, and that's 27,000 Stoke fans
on your Facebook page.
Yeah,
and not one knew.
Not one knew.
Is it weird that I know more about the culture of your football club than your fans?
I think you've just picked up a different club and thrown it on us. We do our cakes, and
so it's not. It's milk cartons full of booze, and I'm not. Look, this is not. Not true. So I'm ringing Case. So people who listen to this know Case is. Okay. He runs our podcast. He doesn't know that he's going to be on this. So I'm just giving him a go now. Let's hope he picks up.
I hope he's not right, or it's like,
no, he is.
Makes me look stupid.
No, he is right.
It's just no one knows.
It's just a niche thing.
I'm eating him.
All right, Case.
I'm eating him.
I don't care, man. We're recording.
No.
We're doing. You know, I mentioned doing that special for the Stoke fan previewing the game and whatnot.
No.
But what are you eating?
Steak.
Straight in steak.
Steak, just a steak.
Case works out, see, and he needs his protein.
All right, okay.
How many steaks you had today, Case?
One.
Just the one. All right. Only a couple before bed, then.
Yeah.
So I'm ringing up. You know why, don't you?
No.
Well, what if I? Why would I be ringing up to talk to you about your trip to Stoke last year?
You rang me about this a while ago, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just. I didn't make this up, did I? What happened when you went to the pub in Stoke?
They had like those, like the milk bottle, 2 litre, whatever they are, the two pint milk bottle things, and you could order like cider, I think it was, and then you could have beer, you could have whatever you wanted really on tap, and they just fill one of those up, and then they had the machine there that would seal it, like you would get a milk bottle, and you could just take that out with you.
Can you remember?
Down the street with there was about 10 of us, and we had like 2 PDs in each hand, and we were like peeling the tops off and just sipping our cider or whatever it was.
Right, Case, nice to meet you, albeit by the phone, Elliot here from the Bear Pit TV. What pub was this, or what bar? It must be one pub that does it, because... Was it near the ground?
No, I can't think where it was. This, what's the big car park? Yeah, near the town hall, is it?
Oh God. I think I know where you're talking. I think you've gone to a little student
like
bar.
There's a one-way system around there, and we sort of went wandering off down that way because we could walk to the station from where we were.
Yeah, I think you've gone to a little student bar, but I just want to make it clear that that's not a regular occurrence. I think it's just that bar you were in.
All right.
I know a couple of mates who are big Stoke fans, so they sort of took us on their little guided tour of
because
Stoke.
We put that out on our page to 27,000 people, and not one knew what you were on about.
Really? Oh, it's that exclusive. I can get you the details if you want.
Please do. Please do.
Here's the thing, because I actually think they're onto something. This is a brilliant business idea.
Yeah.
And I think that actually this tradition could become a thing around Stoke.
I don't know what's the legality of it, because I don't think you can be drinking it, can you, on the street? But they could. The reason they did it was because they could sell it as like takeaway beer.
Yeah, exactly. It's a brilliant idea. Yeah. It's a brilliant idea.
We were supposed to be wandering down the street drinking it, but yeah.
Cheers, Case.
Enjoy the steak.
I'll try and find out what pub it was, yeah.
Yeah, finish the steak.
Alright, mate.
Alright, well, there you go. Cleared up.
Yeah.
So it isn't the Stoke tradition.
I'm not going crazy.
No. I've established the fact that I'm not talking utter bollocks. There were some people on your Facebook page that got a little bit knocked about, a little bit angry of it.
I was like,
you was a bit angry. Alright, let's move on to the game. So Spurs haven't started brilliantly. We've struggled, but we've kind of got the points on the board. Tricky away tie. Everton, Koeman's got them playing well. Their team, despite their position last year, is actually pretty good. Mm. They've strengthened slightly, and they've kept hold of Lukaku, though. Yeah, he hasn't really been fit yet. What's your feelings about how the game might go? What are your opinions of Tottenham?
Tottenham, for me, I know you said they've been started poorly, but you can't have started much worse than we have.
Yeah.
Bottom of the league. But you know, it'll all come to the game on Saturday, and we've made some signings. So you know, we've got Wilfred Bony, which I feel was a missing piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
For Stoke. We had no clear striker who can put away the chances, and we know we've got Diouf, Stephen, John Walters, and Peter Crouch. Now, Crouch is decent, but you know, he's not bagging all those goals at this age anymore.
Much loved Peter Crouch.
Of course, everyone probably loves Peter Crouch. He's just a top guy, isn't he?
Yeah,
just absolutely top guy.
I love that the video in getting off his absolute pickle in Ibiza.
They just pop up every year or so. You know, when he's on his Jolly Bobs and he's there doing robot. Absolutely smashed.
Didn't you? You had a post that went viral recently of when he scored a hat trick in the League Cup. Was it?
Yeah, in the EFL. Well, now it's called the EFL Cup. But yeah, he scored a hat-trick at Stevenage and gave away his match hat-trick match ball.
What, and you were recording it?
Yeah, I was in the stands, obviously recording as I do anyway for, you know, the Bear Pit TV, and just so happens he come across to the crowd, just gave his match ball to this little kid.
Sound kid.
Tough.
Sound
into him. He's just a good guy.
Yeah, he is. So what are your opinions of Tottenham? What you've seen, maybe what happened last year? Have you been surprised by Pochettino's rise, or is it...
No, I mean, I suppose for me, just sort of picked up from where you left off before the collapse, if you know what I mean. I don't think you've done badly at all. I know you've ground out some late wins, you know, some late goals to get points or whatever. And against Liverpool, maybe, you know, they should have had that penalty, or what should have been that penalty in the game, but, you know, we're all getting done by these referees.
You especially.
Was especially.
Yeah.
You know, they're testing it out on us.
It seems that way.
Not the league, just us. But, you know, Spurs, I'm expecting another decent season. I don't know how much the Champions League is going to affect you, or how much you think it's going to affect you.
A lot.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be an issue.
So I don't think you've got one of the strongest squads in depth.
We sold a lot. We sold a fair few, and we managed to get in Enkadu through the door, and a goalkeeper, which, you know, who cares about that really. we are lacking. Obviously, and Sissoko from Newcastle.
What do you make of all that, the Sissoko?
God, to be honest, I thought. Do you remember we sat down during the Euros, and I was like, how is he playing in the European Championship final
for France
throughout? I always profess to know next to nothing really about football compared to managers. You know, it's their role to know the ins and out of the game. And who was the French manager?
Deschamps,
right? If he sees something in it, then maybe there is a player there. Newcastle saw enough to bring him in the Premier League and trust him.
And Everton's Koeman had enough interest to go in for him.
Yeah, in a big way. You know, they agreed a fee.
There must be something there. I don't know what.
Well, I don't know what. I mean, and with Spurs don't... since the seven players that we bought after selling Bale, Spurs don't actually shell that much money out for
Bale. It's not often you see that amount of money being spent by Tottenham.
I wonder how much of it's a panic and one of it is actually looking at quality. But there's... Pochettino seems to kind of go saying, this is the guy I want. Mm. I mean, I trust him. That's all I can do. We needed people in that midfield who will be able to fill in and potentially be upgrades on what we got. We'll see. Mm. I hope it's one of them things that we come into. He comes in and we're all right. That's what I missed. In the same way that Dembele isn't really rated by other people, unless
I was going to say, you mentioned this to me earlier, and I know he's a good player, but he's, and you're saying that you're going to miss him a hell of a lot this weekend.
Mm.
But you know, for someone who doesn't watch Tottenham, well, to watch them obviously in Match of the Day or the highlights, but I don't see every minute of every game. So it's one of those where it's hard to spot what he does for you exactly, because he isn't, you know, out and out goal scorer. I don't know how many assists.
Yeah, well, he doesn't, not that many.
No?
He's like, in the same way that in the kind of way that Modric was the metronome in our midfield, he kind of made it tick. Dembele does that as well, but he's unlike, genuinely unlike any other footballer I can think of. And he offers us so much. Again, most people listening to this know acutely how good Dembele is from us, but what was interesting about him is how he rose from being a very underperforming, highly rated player. Mm. You know, there's this quote that after we sold Bale to Real Madrid, Les Ferdinand put his arm around Modric's shoulders and went, "You'll be the next one to go to Real Madrid." Mm. Like, wow, that's a fucking selling club. Like, forget about Tottenham, Les, for a second. So he's been superb. And last year, 23 games he started, we didn't lose a single one.
Similar, obviously not on the same level, and people will probably laugh, but they're nowhere on the same level. But the person who does that for us is Glenn Whelan.
Yeah.
He dictates the play, not in a creative way, but you know, breaking up attacks. Yeah. And he's sort of passing that mantle on now to Gianelli and Mbula, who we signed from Porto for record fee last January.
Impressed with him, yeah.
Yeah, he has his up and downs. He has his games where he absolutely bosses it. He has his games where he's been like inconsistent. But he's really impressed me since we've signed him. He loves taking on players. Every weekend when you see the score stats or whatever for most take-ons, he'll be near the top or the top. Every week, just loves taking on a player. Sometimes he does it in some wrong areas, a bit close to the defence for my liking, but he really knows that I'll go past someone and start an attack.
Yeah.
So he's someone you need to watch out for the weekend.
What's the feeling around Stoke at the moment?
Well, everyone's a bit dejected from being bottom of the league. There's even been, by very, very, very small minorities, but a few calls for Hughes out.
Yeah, but that happens.
It always happens.
You lose one game and you hear it.
Exactly.
It's perfect. But
the transfer window and getting in everyone that we wanted, or the person for every position that we wanted, has given, you know, sort of a boost. We're all excited to see Wilfred Bony this weekend, and hopefully he puts away some goals for us. We've never, like I said before, we've never had that out and out goal scorer, that person who's just going to put away chances you'd expect to finish. I don't, when I see Mamad Biram Diouf racing through on goal, I don't expect him to put them away.
Yeah.
He thinks too much about it, and then it's straight at the keeper before you know it. So I'm expecting Bony to do his the business.
I forgot what I was going to say. It literally fell out my mind. This is not an uncommon thing on the pod.
Oh, right. This happens often.
Yeah, and it doesn't get edited. Everything you record goes out.
All right, okay.
What was I going to say? That was it. Hughes. So he came in and almost... he kind of reinvented Stoke, which is never... You wouldn't imagine Mark Hughes being capable of doing that. But he managed to reinvent you, because for a long, long time, and fairly, you know, given Pulis's time, you know, you were a kind of very physical, long ball merchant type football club.
No denying that.
I remember Adrian Durham on the radio saying, it's fair enough that Pulis has got you up playing this football, and it's fair enough that he kept you in the division playing football. Now it's time for him to adapt
and
change.
It's time to change. Yeah. Every club you see Pulis go to, it's 40 points and we're done. That's his target every year. If you want a man to keep you up, that's your man.
Yeah,
he will do that. He's never been relegated as a manager, but he hasn't got that to push on, you know, start kicking towards the top, or you know, grind out those results needed to transform you into a top seven, or try and get you to the, you know, Europa League or anything like that. He can't do that.
And Hughes came in.
You know, it took a steady progression to try and get to the football we're playing now. And sometimes we'd still refer back to the long ball, just as a, you know, sort of safe bet.
Yeah,
the game for at Anfield in the Capital One Cup last semi-final last season. You know, we went to Anfield, we've never won there since the 60s, and we went there to play Crouch up top with John Walters on the wing feeding long balls into him, won 1-0.
Yeah.
It went to penalties, we lost that unfortunately, and it still hurts that, especially with Lucas when he scores and he runs over to the Stoke fans and does a little dance in front of you. I hate Lucas.
Yeah, do you?
I hate him, yeah. It doesn't seem like that player that incite that sort of emotion from anyone, but he's an absolute not.
I just indifference, complete indifference. He's gone now, isn't he?
Yeah,
Lucas.
Thank God. But like I say, Hughes is, you know, he's coming, he's playing this football.
He signed exciting.
He signed some very talented, you know, tricky players that you wouldn't expect to see at Stoke. Like when we got Giroud and Shaqiri, was absolutely.
But Shaqiri, Afellay,
Bojan, Arnautovic, Sobby, this winger we've got in Mbula, Joe Allen.
He wants to play football.
Bony, yeah.
And that is a risky thing to do at Stoke, is to kind of change the philosophy at football club, because you don't know. It could have ended up in relegation.
Could have been tears, yeah. You never know where it's going to go, but we did pick it up. It did take a while, but we picked it up, and it showed most over the Christmas period last year when we beat Man United 2-0 at home, beat Man City 2-0 at home, we beat Chelsea before that. Then we went to Everton and won 4-3 away from home, you know, playing this counter-attacking, dynamic football. Yeah. The game against Man City was the one I remember in my mind, because it should have been about 6 or 7 if we'd have put away even more of our chances. They didn't have a sniff that game. And
what was the final score?
It ended 2-0.
Yeah.
But it could have, honestly, some of the chances aren't out of Fitch, as he hit the post twice. And we could have absolutely battered them, and that'd have been a real wake up to, you know, it was anyway when we beat those sides. It was a sort of wake up to the Premier League to say, you know, here we are, we're playing a different style of football now.
Yeah. Arnautovic stirs something in my loins. There's something about that man.
I know you love his finish against United.
Oh, we talked about this. Yeah. Oh, mate, just the technique in which he's trying to, you know, Ian McIntosh, he calls him Thunder Bastards, those type of goals.
Yeah, definitely.
It was just sick.
De Gea was nowhere.
No keeper in the world. No matter if he would have been right in front of it, there was no way
he'd have been in front of it, he'd been going in the net.
Yeah, he would have died. The man would have died on the football pitch. Yeah, instant death. Yeah, it was. There is something about him. But yeah,
Arnautovic is another one. He's a talented young lad. He almost went in the summer, but we somehow managed to pin him down to another 4-year contract. After, you know, reports from Everton being interested, and he was our player of the season last year. He scored 11 goals. He's more of an inside forward than a winger, because he cuts in that often to try and, you know, either score or set up a goal.
Yeah,
but he's another one who's inconsistent for me, and this is why I'm so glad we got Sobby, the young winger, to try and push him and Shaqiri, you know, when they're not playing so well. Right, we'll get you off now, because we've got someone who can, you know, who's hungry for your place, who can do a similar job, as we didn't have that before when you're bringing John Walters on.
Yeah. And how's Shaqiri done? Because
Shaqiri's been decent this season.
Spurs were linked with him for a long time, and nothing really ever happened. And then he started well in the last. How long have you been? About a year now.
He came to us last summer.
Right. So yeah,
2 years. This is his second season.
Second season. Yeah.
His first season was what we call the adapting to the Premier League.
Yeah.
Because he scored 2 or 3 goals, I believe. Didn't get too many assists, which, you know, we were expecting a little better from him. This season he started well. He scored against Middlesbrough in the first game of the season. He's looked like he's more comfortable in the league. But now he's out. He's injured. He's not going to be playing this weekend.
Is he not?
And there's rumours that it's 6 weeks. It was only supposed to be a week injury or so, but some Swiss media have said it's going to be 6, which I'm a bit worried about.
Yeah.
So
he's a starter. He's
a starter every week, but you won't be seeing him this weekend.
Good. He also scored.
You might have Sobby.
Really? And yeah. Should we be worried about him? Because I remember you signed him. He's like, oh, I'm excited about this Egyptian sign. But you hadn't signed anyone else. So I wasn't wondering how giddy he was getting over a signing. Just because
he'd courted him for a while. He's one of those YouTube players, you know, when you watch him. But he's done it for us when he's come on. And he's looked a real exciting talent.
Where did you get him from?
We got him from Al Ahly. It was an Egyptian transfer record, 5.5 million, you know, the biggest transfer ever to come out of that country.
Right.
And he was named the biggest talent in Africa.
Wow.
Which is a big accolade.
Well, that is a massive. There's some great players in Africa.
Yeah, I know. It was a massive accolade. And it shows, I've told you before, but, you know, for the guys listening, when we were interested in signing him, and now we have signed him, we had to block Egypt on the on my page and on the Stoke City official pages, because the Egyptian fans are mental. And Stoke's, the official Stoke City Facebook page, went up by the capacity of the ground in a week.
All Egyptians.
All therefore, all Egyptians. And it was just, you know, every post was Arabic. And it was coming through to ours, you know, we've got loads of Arabic coming on. And we're like, what the hell's all this? And the Egyptian
fans, you do what any good Englishman does and you ban him.
Ban him.
Ban him. Get him out of my Facebook page. Brexit!
Don't want them. None of these Egyptians coming in and ruining our pages.
Can't read any of it. Could be ISIS. You don't know. You know, it's a tricky one, right? Because obviously you want fans from other clubs coming and investing in the content you create, but it's quite difficult when they flush it full of language that no one understands.
Yeah, they've. Here we go.
All right. Don't worry about that.
But yeah, they've set up an Arabic pages now. That's how big it is.
What did Stoke have? Yeah, that's not a bad shout.
They've set up an Arabic Facebook and Twitter account for them all.
Brilliant.
So they don't spam ours.
So they just put them all in like a net. Like a holding cell.
Yeah.
So there's something not right about this. I'm not sure Stoke thought this through.
Yeah, it's strange. It's a weird one.
Yeah, so what I love about Stoke, I never really felt much about Stoke at all, but I love the fact that you and Arsenal hate each other.
Oh yeah, we fucking hate Arsenal.
I mean, I feel that. I know that. And I can understand it completely.
Yeah.
Whining, whinging little weird football club.
So strange. It's so strange.
Let's talk a little bit about how strange they are. Let's talk about things we don't like about Arsenal.
Okay. I don't like the internet stuff. I don't like how they go mad over polls. And I don't know if you've seen, but like Manager of the Month and Player of the Month is going to be decided by Twitter now.
So every season,
every award, if there's an Arsenal or manager or player up, they're going to win it.
Yeah, it's a bit pathetic.
It's
isn't
a bit
it?
Weird, isn't it?
Weird, yeah. Why is it so important?
But yeah, it's, I don't know. Wenger, I just hate Wenger.
The Wenger, oh, you hate him?
Yeah, just hate him. The in and out stuff's daft.
This comes from Shawcross. The Shawcross
all stems from that. Originally.
Yeah, that was pretty much. Yeah, and
you know he. I don't do it myself, but you know, when he comes to the Britannia, maybe I should because I just hate him. But every time we play each other, Ramsey will be booed. It'll probably go on forever until he dies. But it just happens.
It's bad. It's kind of bad that he gets booed for being broken his leg, because it was no fault of his own that he get his leg broken.
No,
it's such as the kind of fierceness of it's the siege mentality. It doesn't matter if your club's in the wrong.
Yeah.
You will defend them to the hill, and there's something in that. I know it's
one of the things that pisses Stoke fans off most is the Arsenal fans don't realise. Number one, Shawcross was in tears when he went off the pitch.
Yeah.
He's a fucking really nice guy.
Yeah,
I've met him. He's one of the most down to earth and sort. He doesn't come across that on the pitch, and he's a right bastard. And I wouldn't want him at any other way.
Of course not.
And then the second one is Shawcross went to apologise, and Ramsey declined his apology. Which is a strange one.
That is, because these things happen.
Yeah, so both of those things a lot of people don't get, and Arsenal fans don't get, or haven't heard, or don't want to hear.
Yeah.
So that's another one, you know, just we tried to say sorry, effectively, and it was denied.
But you're behaving like fannies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird one.
Yeah, I mean,
And they can net, and you know, Arsenal, this side that they are, this for me, I always think of them as a Ponzi side.
Yeah.
And
Sam and Chino wearing Tarquins.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And when they come to the Britannia, they know they're in for a game. I feel like we're 1-0 up every time we play Arsenal before the game, because the Arsenal players just don't like it there.
Don't like it up them.
They don't like it up them. They don't like wind. They don't like rain. They don't like some hard tackles. They want to play nice football. And
they don't like atmosphere.
They don't like
playing anything other than the most serene kind of polished areas.
Yeah. They just want a bowling green.
Do you know what?
The same sort of audience.
It's all of this Arsenal stuff stems. It's the reason why they're not a proper football club is it stems from their roots. You know, they were moved from South London, the first franchise football club. All of anyone who supports Arsenal doesn't do it for the reasons that most people support their football club, i.e. it's their local club, or you know, it's a one that's sold to you by your old man and sold to you based on the traditions and stories of games and whatnot. All of their fan base comes from the sustained success of the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Highbury used to be a quiet ground, but, you know, there was 40,000 people in there. This is 60,000 in their new stadium, and it is ridiculous.
It's so quiet. I can't get over going. I hate going there.
No,
it's not a football game.
No.
It's weird. It's just so strange, the atmosphere. I mean, you used to call Highbury Library, but, yeah, like I say, it's even worse.
Yeah, it is worse. It's terrible. You know, it's not. I've seen Arsenal finish above Tottenham so many times, But I still wouldn't change it for a single minute. Not no. The thought of being near them, or even being one of them. Because if Tottenham hadn't existed and Arsenal were the biggest club in your area, the chances are I probably would have grown up as an Arsenal fan. But I like to think that I'd have come to my senses.
Yeah, you'd have worked it out.
Yeah. So, do you think Tottenham will finish above Arsenal this year, Elliot?
I actually predicted this.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did.
No, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I predicted. Did I say Arsenal sixth?
Sixth.
And where did I say you? Fifth?
Third? Fourth? Third? No, well, that's where, I don't know, actually. I can't remember. But it was above Arsenal.
This is where I'm going down well. But yeah. I said I don't know how you'll cope with the Champions League campaign.
No,
where that'll put you.
I think that's a fair
but
thing.
But I did say Arsenal will finish below you.
Yeah, and that's all you need.
All you need.
Love it, Elliot. Okay, so if anyone, we did a little video preview, didn't we?
Yeah.
About the game on the Bear Pit TV.
Yeah. If you want to catch that, head over to the Bear Pit TV. Just whack that into, you know, the old YouTube or Facebook or any of those, and you'll find us. It'll pop up.
Yeah. All right. Sweet. Remember, the Fighting Cock comes out every Tuesday or Wednesday when we can get it out. This is a special. We've got other things lined up. We're talking to a guy who wrote a book about the rivalry in London between all of the clubs. We've got him on the podcast that'll be coming out next week. So, you know, it's really interesting talking more about this rivalry stuff and the formation of that rivalry when Arsenal kind of trampled their way on, like the tramps that they are, into North London. Yeah, so remember, Fighting Cock, at Love the Shirt, facebook.com/lovethe shirt. No, the Fighting Cock. I mean, then it's
even you don't know.
And yeah.
Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.